So good morning, everybody. Ken, glad you're here. So I hope you all may have had a chance to read that wonderful version of Uji that I sent out. There'll be a 50-question multiple choice test at the end. So today I'm going to talk about fascicle number 11 of Dogen's Shobugenzo, Uji, or Being Time. And another title for it is, For the Whole of Time is the Whole of Existence. And I want to begin with a poem that has a little to say about this Uji by Ursula Le Guin called Hymn to Time. Time says, let there be every moment and instantly there is space and the radiance of each bright galaxy. And eyes beholding radiance, and the gnats flickering dance, and the sea's expanse, and death and chance. Time makes room for going and coming home, and in time's womb begins all ending. Time is being, and being time, it is all one thing, the shining, the seeing, the dark abounding. So today, I'm actually limited by time, my 20 or 30 minutes or so for this talk, to discuss what others have written books about and articles and given lengthy multi-dharma talks about. I got 20 or 30 minutes. So rather than trying to delve into the vastness of this fascicle, I want to talk about a couple of elements of Uji that really kind of spoke to me. That is the relationship of practice to Uji and the ideas that most of us are familiar with of interdependent co-origination. I almost said the other way around. And impermanence as inherent to Uji. But I want to first take a brief look at something of the etymology of Dogen's word Uji. There are many meanings of Uji in Japanese, such as just for the time being, there is a time when, at some time, now and then, and the like. And when broken down, the first half, U, refers to existence or being, and the second, G, has a variety of close equivalents, including time, a time, times, the time when, at the time when, or sometime, or for a time. So, I don't know if we have to pick and choose one of those out of that whole thing. Dogen merges the two into Uji, or as other authors have tried to translate, being time or existence time. Now for him, time and being are two aspects of the same thing, which is, and you're familiar with, and I will quote, the interrelationship of anicca, the ever-changing flow of time, and anatta, the absence of any permanent self-existing within or independent of this flow of time. So, in this very short time today, I'm going to attempt to give you my limited understanding. But as a preface, I want to give you some observations from Carl Bielefeld on Dogen in general. He says, for Dogen, the ultimate truth is not a timeless principle, but what is actually going on around us. Or to put it from the other side, that what is going on is not just one damn thing after another, but the welling up of enlightenment in the world. The welling up of enlightenment in the world. And he goes on, the goal of Buddhism is not a future state of enlightenment achieved through practice, but in the present engagement in practice itself. Or to put it more simply, that the Buddhist life is its own reward, beyond which there is no enlightenment. So in a sense, Carl's comments are to me kind of reflect how down-to-earth and pragmatic Dogen was, even when expressing himself poetically. See, our practice is not about doctrines or beliefs or even faith. It is about direct experience of reality as it is. Our practice is about experiencing things, not thinking about things. Our practice is just to act. Now, as I studied this fascicle, and I'll say this, I had so many translations I didn't know which end was up sometimes. A couple of things did begin to jump out. Practice and training kept appearing. What was that all about? So I want to start at the beginning of Uji with a poem by Zen Master Yue Shan. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Sounds good, though. Standing on the peak of a high mountain is Uji. Diving to the bottom of the ocean is Uji. The one with three heads and eight arms is Uji. He who stands 8 or 16 feet tall is Uji. The staff and whisk are Uji. The pillar and lamp are Uji. You and your neighbor are Uji. The great earth and vast sky are Uji. After this poem, Dogen begins. This Uji means that time is existence and that all existence is time. So you'd almost end the fascicle right there, in my opinion. However, as I said, throughout this fascicle, Dogen consistently writes about practice or training as a necessity for coming to Uji or is actually Uji. And in each instance, he has something important to say about this practice-Uji relationship. First, he says, therefore, from the standpoint of time, the desire for enlightenment arises spontaneously. From the standpoint of mind, time arises with the same mind. This applies also to training and enlightenment. Thus, we see by entering within, the self is time itself. Thus, we see by entering within, the self is time itself. Or as Carl put it, is it the welling up of enlightenment? Further on, he writes, such being the truth, we must learn that there are many appearances and grasses throughout the earth, and that each grass and each appearance are not apart from the entire earth. Holding this view is the point of departure for training. When we reach this sphere of our journey's end, there is one grass and one appearance. The point of departure for training. Each grass and each appearance are not apart from the entire earth. That is, nothing is separate from the 10,000 things, including time. Next, he says, because the self and others are already time, practice and enlightenment are time. Similarly, entering mud and water is time. Now, one of the translations refers to this as entering society. So similarly, entering mud and water is time. Similarly, entering society is time. So entering in mud and water, by the way, is an allusion, a classical allusion, to a bodhisattva who is willing to go anywhere to help others come to realization. Shades of Hotai returning to the marketplace, or Kuan Yin. That is, Uji and practice are engagement with those around us, with the world. Uji and practice are essentially compassion for all that is. Then he goes on, to transcend the active and passive is called penetrating the world. Becoming the true Buddha is manifested in search, in training, in enlightenment, in nirvana. This is existence and time. There is only the thorough studying of all time as all existence. There is nothing else. In my words, there is only practice to just act. Then he comes to springtime, and he says, the entire world is not unchangeable. It is not immovable. It flows. You should learn in practice that flowing takes place without anything extraneous. For example, springtime's flowing invariably flows through spring. The flowing is not spring, but as it is the springtime's flow, flowing attains the way, now in time of spring. All of this practice, all of this you must give careful and repeated examination. That is, practice concentrating on the Buddha's way without anything extraneous. So, this flowing of spring in Japan, by the way, is at the same time as the flowing of autumn in Patagonia. Two seasons simultaneously, and a flowing through which is one and the same, and yet different half a world away. Now there's another poet who has this to say about this impermanent flow of the being time of spring. Gone is the whiteness of snow. Green returns in the grass of the fields, in the canopies of the trees. And the airy grace of spring is with us again. Thus time revolves, the passing hour that steals the light brings a message. Immortality for us is impossible. Warm winds will be followed by cold. Now finally, Dogen ends the fascicle with this. In such a manner, coming to training, going on in training, training until you arrive, and training beyond arriving are at all times, just for the time being, just for a while. So it appears that training, slant practice, and uji, or being time, are really one and the same. You know, funnily, I decided to see what the definition of being was, and like a lot of famous speakers like Tony Robbins, I went to the dictionary. And I have an ancient hard copy American Heritage Dictionary. And here are two of the definitions. First, it says about being one's basic or essential nature. And then, absolute existence in its perfect and unqualified state. I was going, this is Zen in a dictionary. One's essential nature time. Perfect absolute existence time. One's Buddha nature time. There was another element to Uji that struck me. It's a short paragraph, which was different in each of the translations I was working with, but which in each case seemed to jump off the page at me. I'm going to give you the short beginning phrase of each translation and then the ending from one author. So he starts, and this is the phrase, the short phrase, the essential point is to grasp the pivot and express, in essence, in short, ultimate. That is, the most important thing is that all existences are linked and become time. Because it is Uji, it is my being time. All existences are linked and become time. Because it is Uji, it is my being time. Sound familiar? All existences are linked and become time, relative and absolute. All spheres, every sense and field intermingle, even as they shine alone, interacting even as they merge, yet keeping their places in expression of their own. Anatta and anicca, no permanent abiding self and continual change. You know, actually, without continual change, without activity, there would be no time. There would be no my being time. Without the totality of everything, there would be no my being time. My being time. My being time expressed in practice. So there's this fascicle from the Shobo Genzo, number 29, called Gyoji, or ceaseless practice. ceaseless practice. It is by far the longest fascicle of all in the Shobogenzo. It incorporates numerous stories and koans about our ancestors and their ceaseless practice. So what does Dogen say about time in Gyoji? How does time rob us of our efforts? Not only does it rob us of one day, it also robs us of the merits of many eons. What animosity is there between time and us? Sad to say, it will be our own lack of practice that robs us so. This is due to our not being on friendly terms with ourselves, to our thinking ill of others, of ourselves. So really, time doesn't rob us of anything. We do that to ourselves with our own lack of practice. In this fascicle, he also writes, because of this continuous practice, there are sun, moon, and stars. Because of this continuous practice, there are earth, sky, and heart, within body and without. Conditional arising is continuous practice. The time when continuous practice is manifested is what we call now. The time when continuous practice is manifested is what we call now. So in Gyoji, Dogen is saying that this ceaseless practice is the practice of all the Buddhas and ancestors. It's what permeates and holds the universe together. And we are invited to be that ceaseless practice, but on friendly terms with ourselves. So I'd venture to say that ceaseless practice and my being time are really one and the same. Then there's our Kanzian chant. Kanzian, or Kuan Yin, or Avalokitesvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion. Through the day, Kanzian. Through the night, Kanzian. Or, through the time of day, Kanzian. Through the time of night, Kanzian. And then, this moment arises from mind. This moment itself is mind. Or in my terms, this being time, this Uji arises from mind. This being time, this Uji itself is mind. And it's also translated as moment after moment, small mind is an expression of big mind. Or thought after thought arises from big mind. So we can say Kanzian is not separate from big mind. Kanzian is not separate from being time. Kanzian is not separate from the universe. And then there's my favorite koan. While training in Basso's community, Hojo once asked the master, just what is Buddha? Basso replied, your very mind is Buddha. So, here we are. This moment itself is mind. Mind is Buddha. Buddha is realization. Buddha is compassion. Buddha is myself. Buddha is Uji. So how do I meet myself? How do I become friendly to myself? How do I live my life wholly in this moment, in my being time? Now, Dainen Katagiri comments on these questions in his book on Uji titled Each Moment is the Universe. And he says, to see the truth directly, which in my mind is to see Uji or where the infinite intersects with the present, we have to practice. Through practice, we can be free from where we think we are, which lets us return to where we really are and experience what the self is. Then, we have to come back and help others. Back to mud and water, back to society. Now, one word that appears in Katagiri's writings and I think is really truly embodied in his works is wholehearted. To me, there is a sense of joy in that world, in that word. There is a sense of aliveness, wholehearted practice, wholehearted awareness, wholehearted being time, kind of a sense of wholeness in each moment. And for me, growing in awareness to see the truth directly, we develop compassion, wholehearted compassion. And Katagiri also writes, when you really approach this very moment, you show deep kindness. That is called compassion. So our practice is not ethereal, otherworldly, and it's not overly serious. I want to say this anyway. We aren't intended to be like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Or for you science fiction fans, we're not intended to be like Marvin the Robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. We are intended to be like Hotai. You remember him, the Bodhisattva of joy, dancing in the marketplace. He's the dude with the gourd of wine. It's one of my favorite Bodhisattvas. So here are a couple of stanzas from T.S. Eliot's The Four Quartets that very much relate to this Uji. At the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards, at the still point, there the dance is, but neither arrest nor movement, and do not call it fixity, where past and future are gathered, neither movement from nor towards, neither ascent nor decline, except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance. And then there's only the dance. I think he must have read the Song of Zazen, you know, the dance. Our thought now being no thought, our dancing and songs are the voice of the Dharma. So as I was writing this talk, I had a conversation with a dear friend about our recent trip down the Rhine River. And she asked me if the cultures there were different. And I said, well, you know, things don't seem to be as hectic or hurried. And she laughed and said, yes, you have to take your time and enjoy life. So here we are wholeheartedly. We live at the point of nothingness, the still point, the eternal now, with the dancing and songs. And yet, we are all living at the pivot together. Each thing in all places, at all times, fully alive. We live in the mud and water. We live in the messiness of our lives and the messiness of the world around us. And all the while, Uji is the great welling up of enlightenment in the world. You know, and yet, with all these words, with all the books, with all the realizations, life and Uji are still, and most likely will always remain, ineffable mysteries. I say let's have a cup of tea.